On this occasion, we have opportunity to talk with Lloyd Wheeler in preparation for July 4th holiday. And I've got Chief Jerome Gaines, Fire Chief for Tallahassee Fire Department, along with our good buddy Kevin Peters. He's the Director of Emergency Management, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Truck and Heart Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and Heart Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Truck and Car Concepts smoking hot summer savings going on now. Get a free tailgate pong game with any purchase $500 or more, or a free seven-way plug with any gooseneck hitch installation.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game or your free seven-way plug this week during the smoking hot summer savings event going on now at Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from...
Call 656-8800.
Welcome again, my friend. Another wonderful day in the neighborhood. Another wonderful day to be a neighbor. Hope you'll be mine through the next 2 hours, to quote the often quoted Mr. Rogers. Not Mr. Roberts, Mr. Rogers. Got that. And so, there you go. Mr. Roberts, that was a Henry Fonda movie. James Cagney, right? One of my faves. Talking about neighborhoods here, so I guess that's what got me thinking about Mr. Rogers and his cardigan sweater. As we go into this part of the year, thinking of cardigan sweater is hardly appropriate, but neighborhoods, yes. Because in fact, it is among us as neighbors, one to another, that the more interesting things happen, the most important stuff happens, neighbor to neighbor, looking out for one another. We got to do that. Sometimes those in leadership, whether elected or appointed or hired on, find themselves dismayed over the lack of such concern among us. It's tough to lead people who just don't want to be led. Certainly tough to bring people together who refuse to become friends or even companions in some capacity. And I mean, if we choose to remain segmented and separated and divided and such, I mean, I don't know that leadership is the solution. Although we have had leaders in our nation's history, even at the beginnings of our history, that... somehow people rallied around and found inspiring, right? So even if you're, you know, even if you're like one of the Godbee or Rickards High School students that wasn't asked to take the state-required U.S. history exam, yet you may know that George Washington was, in fact, the first president of the United States. Mm-hmm. And, of course, all of those others that we refer to now as founding fathers, you know, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Hamilton, the rest of them. That's as many as I can remember, so I'm out of names there. Was Patrick Henry among them? Yes, Patrick Henry. And John Hancock, there's another one. All of these fellas found themselves faced with the daunting task, it seems to me, of trying to bring unity among this plurality that had been going on for several hundred years. Let's not forget, 1776 was a good ways from the early beginnings of the colonies, going back, let's say, to Jamestown. The Virginia Commonwealth had been around for quite a while. And so it took that much time for these colonists to gather themselves and at the very least, elect a Congress, a Continental Congress, to begin the process, an arduous process, as it turns out, so history records, of trying to form a nation. And there we have the writings of people like Benjamin Franklin and John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, most notably, on this occasion when we're heading into our Independence Day, July 4th, as it's recognized, trying to form something out of nothing, you might say. Trying to identify a concept, an idea, in literal terms, I should say in literary terms, that a written document could somehow best express the will and the intentions of and the ideas behind a people who in many ways were quite divided, quite separate, different cultures, ethnicities, races, economic status, right? So this hodgepodge, we'd say, of people, their individual interests, you know, owners, planters, those who were owned, those who were merchants, farmers, most of them were farmers, entrusting themselves to a handful of people to bring about this social order, this government then. And so it falls to Thomas Jefferson to write this Declaration of Independence. Went through several drafts and finally presented to this Congress then, all of them, his final version. And after that, it was revised. Southern colonies requiring that the abolition of slavery be removed from the document. They weren't going to have that. And yet, in the context of the current scene, even our own dearly beloved Tallahassee, we're really not any different than we were, 200 plus years ago. We're still struggling to try to figure out what it means to be a nation of people united in the face of our plurality. E pluribus unum, so it is phrased. Unity from the many. A challenging task for any body of people, I think. Unless you are ruled with an iron fist, unless you have no voice, the true meaning of fascism then comes to mind, in which you have a very, very tightly controlled body of people, and usually one person controlling that body, or a designated a small number of people who administer that kind of iron rule, tight control. Not our concept. Not our circus and not our monkeys. Heard that earlier this week, trying to figure out a way to work that into the conversation. But it's not the way we see things. We like discord. Let's be honest. We like arguments. And our whole country is based in that idea, that somehow we can argue our way through a situation until we finally come to the best common good. Well, I've enlisted the help of some of the best people I can find this week. I've got Lloyd Wheeler, who you know has for many years portrayed Benjamin Franklin at various events. He'll be with me here in the first hour. Going to talk about some of this U.S. history, especially our founding, on the occasion of our Independence Day celebration coming up this week. Glad to have that happen. Hope you enjoy the holiday. And in the second hour, I'll have Chief Jerome Gaines, Fire Chief for Tallahassee Fire Department, along with his colleague in this business of caring for us, Kevin Peters. Kevin is the Director for Emergency Management for the county. We'll talk about Hurricane Hermine and what's happened since then to get us better prepared for this now hurricane season of 2017. You stay with me. We've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I love my Volvo. That's why I love Volcar. They take care of my Volvo the way I do. But my husband doesn't drive a Volvo. Good news, Volcar cares for all cars, and they give the same extra attention to detail and the same qualified precision every car requires. New or not so new, Carol and her team at Volcar are some of my most favorite people. She makes it a lot easier to understand what's going on with my car. And I trust her. And I think my husband does too, especially when he saw they charge less than his mechanic for the same service. So we're just one big happy family. Me, my Volvo, and my husband. With a little help from our friends at Volcar.
Volcar Sales and Service on Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Miccosukee in Tallahassee. Volcar for all cars on the web at volcartally.com or call 942-4980. 942-4980.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for today's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady.
Hello there, it's Miriam Dady, and it's time for Tallahassee Business Spotlight. Tallahassee, we are in the dog days of summer, and if you want to discover a jewel that's just been sitting in plain sight that you need to go and explore with your family, I have a treat for you. I have Kim Spinagle here with me today. She is the owner and gracious host of South Eden Plantation. Some of you old-time Tallahassee people might remember it as Melhana Plantation. Kim, thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you so much, Miriam, for having us. We're so excited to be here.
There are a lot of people listening that remember this plantation on Plantation Row. I would say it is second to Pebble Hill as being one where people in our area really have their heart. So tell me about how you became a part of the story.
Thank you, Miriam. In 2009, my husband and I wanted to get away for the weekend, and we found this beautiful place in South Georgia. So we set our sights on that little road trip up to what was in Melhana, or actually it was the Colson. It was after the Melhana name. We drove down that drive, and it was a spectacular sight. It was a beautiful property even then. We were there at the auction. We bid on the property, and we went forward. We were going to do a medical practice there. Zoning issues, did not transpire. So we started out to just sell the property. In 2012, I was there on the property for the last time of what I thought. And I had a vision to do South Eden and make it what it is today, to be a place where people can come back and reminisce all those beautiful memories that they did make there, unbeknownst to me that I was going to have such a weave throughout the community of memories that
we have come across. No kidding.
Yes.
What a cool thing. Where was home when you first discovered and came to visit?
In Tarpon Springs, Florida.
In Tarpon Springs. So yes, you were looking for something off the beaten path.
Yes.
A little piece of history.
Mm-hmm.
And you found it right here between Thomasville and Tallahassee.
Yes, I did.
What a neat story.
Yeah.
It would take a pretty big breath and a big swallow to renovate an entire plantation to accommodate guests. You really jumped in with both feet, didn't you?
Yes, I did. It was a vision. I have a lifelong relationship with God, and it was a vision from Him for my life, and it is where I'll be. I think it has a healing atmosphere, mm-hmm. just as you walk on the property. There is a restorative spirit there, and for people of all walks of life to come there and enjoy this historical property in Joel in the South.
Well, you're amazing for sharing it. So if you are expressing a vision, I think you're right on track. Now, I got the chance to go out and wander the property and get a glass of wine and see everything that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Tell people how they can, where it is, and how they can come see you.
South Eden Plantation is at 301 Showboat Lane, just over the Tallahassee or the Florida-Georgia line. We have a wedding venue that's spectacular. We have a bridal suite. We're really encouraging our brides to come to this venue and really take in what they're committing to and not just rush through a ceremony that's sometimes not even remembered. It goes by so fast. There's so much planning, and it is the second most important decision of one's life. So that's one of our missions, but it goes so much deeper than that. We want South Eden to be a place where people can come even for an hour and unwind over a glass of wine or to have a lunch or a dinner and get away. We want to bring people there for educational purposes. We want to have an arm that speaks out into the community about women's health and what's going on in our world today with things like food production, in the medical world. We want to have an educational arm there, and as well a spiritual arm that we can nice. Teach people to be strong and get, you know, have a place to go that has meaning and not just a place they spent the night.
It has such a feeling of community there. So describe for everyone listening what the compound looks like. How many guests can you accommodate?
We have 27 guest suites. Most of our suites are kings or queens. We do have two twins in some of our rooms. We have porches where people can entertain and spend time with their family and loved ones. We have private areas they can go off and be alone if they need that. We have an indoor heated saltwater pool. We have a dining room. We have Scarlett's Lounge, where it's a high-end pub menu. We have Cream of the Crop Cafe. We have the horses where people can see our gypsy vanners. We have all kinds of fun stuff going on all the time. We have live music nights at the cafe. There's just a whole gamut. It's really a place where people can go and be alone. Yeah. They can go for restoration. They can go for recreation and definitely for memories.
Now, I can imagine a party, whether it's a wedding party or a family reunion, renting the whole thing. Because you could set up croquet, you could have all kinds of summer games, three-legged races and potato mm-hmm. sacks and everything. And still you're right outside Thomasville, you're mm-hmm. right near Tallahassee and can go do other things. Mm-hmm. But boy, what a joy that would be. Yes. Now, if people just want to visit on the weekend, is that a good time? What are the hours?
It's a wonderful time. We're open from 11 a.m. to 10 every night except for Sundays. We are looking forward to starting our Saturday brunch, which is coming up in several weeks. Keep a lookout on the website, and that is southedenplantation.com. We are always adding new things. We're letting the community kind of tell us what they would like.
Fun.
We're listening to them.
That's nice. So they can come and kind of get their own vision for how they want to be a part of what South Eden is doing.
Yes.
Talk about the Showboat Theater. This is pretty cool. I love this piece of history. Tell us about it.
Yes, the Showboat Theater is the magnificent theater that was put in place by Howard Mulhanna. He built this for his wife to do her theatrical events there, and she had such an interest in the theater. They designed it after the Showboat Theater on Broadway, and it is where Gone with the Wind was premiered for the first time before it went to Atlanta. So it's really exciting. We're calling for all memories of people from the community that have memories there. We want to create that storyline a little bit more, a solidified storyline for South Eden's history.
How neat. Okay, so there's the gauntlet. We have a challenge for you, Thomasville. We have a challenge for you, Tallahassee. We need those people who have memories attached to what was once the Colson or the Melhana Plantation to come on out and meet Kimberly there at the property. Bring your photo albums and your stories, because she wants to create the atmosphere of real reminiscence for our area. Kim, I wish we had more time, but I've got to wrap it up for today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And everybody out there, if you want to meet me for a glass of wine and a cheese tray, let's look at Friday evening or Saturday evening. I'll be out there about 7 o'clock, and we'll share one. If you want to check out their website, it's southedenplantation.com. You'll really have fun exploring it. Thank you, Tallahassee. This is Miriam Dady for Tallahassee Business Spotlight.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Yes, my friend, it is the weekend prior to our national celebration of independence, July 4th, coming up this week. And so, of course, on this occasion, it gives us great pleasure to bring back to you our beloved Dr. Benjamin Franklin, who is here being portrayed so well by our good friend Lloyd Wheeler. Lloyd, how are you?
I'm doing well. Actually, Dr. Franklin is doing quite well.
Well, considering your age, Dr. Franklin, yes, it's remarkable. I think
it is. I do think I
to be
come
anywhere.
Along well at 308. 300.
Is that how old you are now?
Is that in dog years or no?
Okay. What is it about our beginnings that you find so inspiring and so motivating that you go out there as Dr. Franklin to these various events and activities?
Well, I think part of it goes back to my childhood. For a portion of that time, I lived outside of Philadelphia and actually walked the streets and the sidewalks that our founding fathers walked on. And it was just instilled in me as a young child, the love of our country.
Mm. So this is age old in your case, and that portrayal of Franklin that you've become well known for in our community has included the telling of some of these tales, right, from our early beginnings.
It has. I've done years of research reading on Franklin, not only his autobiography, but writings from other biographers and other aspects. Many of his own writings I have read and studied, and there are so many more that are yet to be put into a form that I can access.
Oftentimes, especially in the last couple of decades or so, I would probably be fair in saying, you know, the last 20, 30 years, we've heard often quoted what might amount to the intent or the intentions of the founding fathers, right? So there's been this concern for are we straying from what were those intentions of the framers of the Constitution? And, you know, it's no less true in recent months when you see the appointment now of a Supreme Court justice who is I think the term is strict constitutionalist, right?
Yep.
That's one way of describing this kind of perception or this kind of attitude about the Constitution.
Well, for so many years, we have been told by our elected leaders, by our teachers, people that we're supposed to respect, that the Constitution is a living, breathing document.
Mm. Evolving as such.
Mm-hmm. That is a big pile of what you might find in a field behind a cow.
Mm.
The Constitution is a plainly written legal contract, a legal document between the people of the United States and our government. We need government. We all realize that. Even our founders realized that government was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
we never rejected the idea of taxes. We, as colonists, that we were used to paying taxes, but the problem, or one of the problems that caused the revolution, was taxes being levied by a parliament where we had no say. We were used to our own assemblies and congresses levying taxes. And we realized that it was necessary.
The observation, as humble as it may be on my behalf, I'm certainly no historian, and certainly probably on par with most of us in terms of my understanding. But I would say it seems to me that the kind of contest that we find today is nothing new to our government.
And you have to realize within the past, I believe, 10 years or so, the media, or the broadcast media,
particularly,
especially, has changed from a news organization to an entertainment organization. All the main networks are actually part of entertainment conglomerates.
So the newscasters then are simply bringing to the audience what programming has decided is going to grab the biggest ratings.
And the biggest ratings, the biggest
translates into
larger sponsorship, and you know that chain quite well. I believe.
I'm afraid I do. In fact, when it comes down to the students who we hope better understand the manner in which American government operates, does it concern you that what they are seeing is somehow a distortion?
Oh, very much so. Our youth are not taught how our government came about. They aren't taught the actual Constitution. I'm not going to say that I can quote chapter and verse of the Constitution or the amendments, but I know that the Constitution, as a legal document, limits the amount of power that the federal government can hold. And I believe the 9th and 10th Amendments go even farther, stating that, especially the 10th Amendment, that powers not written in the Constitution, in the body of the Constitution, does not belong to the federal government. And I'm not quoting exactly, but they belong, those powers belong to the states and to the people, to you and to me and everyone else. Doesn't belong to the overreach that we see of the federal government. I've read of cases where a farmer has a low spot in a field that he's been plowing and farming for years, but it collects a little bit of water during a heavy rain, which then, of course, gets absorbed into the ground and dries up. But the government comes in and says, you can't plow this field because of that water. That's
declaring
ludicrous.
That it's some kind of protected wetland or
exactly. You know, that's just overreach.
Well, in the course of creating for ourselves over these 200 plus years, right? I guess, where are we now? 270 years, I guess. How old are we? Depending on what you consider the start date, if 1776 is your...
That is when we declared our independence.
Point,
Our current government...
was actually formed later than that.
About 10 years later, 1789, is when our Constitution was ratified by the people of the United States.
So there you go. So if in the, all of these couple of hundred years or so that we've been in existence, there have certainly been times that have been more tumultuous than others, but there's never been a point at which there wasn't political rancor. What seems upsetting to most people right now is that it's getting in the way of getting anything done. And we've had this conversation repeatedly. In fact, you and I have talked about this. Even in Tallahassee, when you see you know, some kind of natural disaster come about, or some man-made disaster, if it's political or financial, the parties involved, rather than focusing on solving the problem, they come after each other.
They do, and it's no one's fault. It's always someone else's fault, yep, that something has happened.
The blame game, yeah.
The blame game. There is no, what I have seen, real planning or preparation in the case of the storms that we occasionally have.
Well, we're going to talk with Chief Gaines. He's going to be with us in the second hour, and Kevin Peters with Leon County Emergency Management. So that's a conversation we're going to pursue. Okay. We've got Dr. Benjamin Franklin here, as portrayed by Lloyd Wheeler. Good friend of the show, good friend to many of you. You stay with me. I've got more. We'll be right back.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back, and we're talking with Lloyd Wheeler, who generously, over the many years that he's done so, brings to school groups and civic groups and public gatherings his portrayal of Dr. Benjamin Franklin. So if Franklin were to look upon us these days, and we talked earlier in this first segment about, you know, some of the discord and what seems to be just sort of pointless arguments and obstructionism and such, what might he think of these times, do you think?
To a big degree, nothing has changed. If you look at the arguments that transpired in the Continental Congresses, of course, as Franklin, he was only involved in the Second Continental Congress.
Yeah, right.
But there was much debate, much anger and rancor.
Yeah. Along a lot of different questions. Federalism is one of those between Adams and Jefferson. Jefferson was like, no, it's all about individual states' rights. And Adams saying, well, but you've got to have a centralized government that can operate a military. And eventually, I guess it was Hamilton, right, that established
the National Bank.
The bank. Yes. And there was opposition to all of that. Was that, do you think, a reaction in any respects or a predisposition because they were so afraid of recreating a monarchy here? I mean, George Washington said, look, I don't want to be the king of this country. Mm-hmm. I'm a president. I'll be here for one term, and then I'm gone.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think much of the fear was that a form of monarchy would be established.
Yeah.
There was pressure on Washington to become our first king.
Yeah.
And fortunately, Washington was of such character that not only at the end of the war turn in his vestige of power, resign from the army, but had to be dragged back for the Constitutional Convention.
Interesting how those personalities at that time, and you talked about this earlier, your fascination with some of the stories.
Yes, it's just amazing the people, whether they were the big names, the Washingtons, the Franklins, the Lees, the people that we've all heard about.
Right.
But the Jack Jouettes, the Sybil Luddington's, Peter Francisco, the people like you and I, the regular people that are out there working, trying to provide for their families, the stories that I have dug up on them.
What are some of those that come to mind?
Sacrifice. Well, Jack Jouette, captain in the Virginia militia, rode 40 miles through heavy brush because the road was blocked by British troops. He actually was permanently scarred by the branches and the brambles that he rode through. But he made his way to, I believe it was Charlottesville, Virginia, to warn the Virginia Assembly and Thomas Jefferson that British troops were on their way to arrest them. So Jack Jouette actually, not figuratively, but actually saved Thomas Jefferson from a British noose. Sybil Luddington, 16-year-old girl, the age is a little hazy from records, up in the lower Hudson River Valley of New York. Another 40-mile ride calling out the militia in the area because a British general, former governor of New York, was raiding into Connecticut and parts of upstate New York. Without her ride, the militia would not have been able to stop that British devastation.
Wow.
Peter Francisco, an abandoned child found on the docks at Jamestown, was adopted by a judge whose family connection also included Mr. Patrick Henry. But Peter Francisco grew into a giant of a man, taller even than General Washington. Wounded or recovering from wounds, single-handedly dispatched 11 British dragoons, taking all of their horses and equipment and returning to his camp. In fact, it's said that in the Battle of Brandywine, during a Continental retreat, to save a 6-pound cannon from falling into British hands, Peter Francisco removed it from its carriage, slung it on his shoulder, ran it across the battlefield while suffering several wounds.
Wow.
These are true stories.
Remarkable.
Why do I need some of today's fiction?
We have found ourselves, I think, in this time romanticizing much of that early beginnings. And I mentioned that earlier when we talk about the founding fathers and we have this sort of powdered wig view. But these were real people, and those stories that you're bringing illustrate that.
The same foibles that you and I have and everyone else has.
Even in the writing of the Declaration, I discovered this recently, in which John Adams was asked, well, why didn't you write it? And he said, no, Jefferson is a much better writer than I am. And so he goes to Jefferson, and he says, this is really your task. He spends hours and hours, day after day, comes through several drafts, finally submits this, and his presentation includes the abolition of slavery. But that gets removed from the Declaration because of those who would have objected to it being signed with that provision.
So some of the southern colonies insisted that that be removed. We have to realize that our founding fathers were not demigods.
Yeah.
They were simply men, very intelligent, very moved, but just men like you and I. They had the same misgivings, the same hang-ups, to use the modern term. But they did the best that they could. And the fact that we have lasted as a nation almost 250 years, 238, 239. Again, the actual number isn't important.
Folks, this is why we love having Lloyd Wheeler with us on these occasions, and a wonderful revisiting of our own history And Dr. Franklin, I should say, God bless you and all of that you'll enjoy through this coming 4th of July holiday. We're glad that you had time to be with us because I know they keep you busy.
Well, I do thank you for that, and they can always contact me at History Alive Productions, or they'll actually contact Mr. Lloyd Wheeler, who handles
there you go, business. Yes. Yes. HistoryAliveProductions.com?
.us.
.us, right.
Why not US?
There you go. Makes sense. And I know you're on Facebook as well with
on
the
Facebook,
same title.
History Alive Productions.
Yep. Great way to keep up with historical remembrances, stories from our nation's history, our good friend Lloyd Wheeler. Thank you, sir.
And thank you, Brian. And happy 4th of July to everyone.
Absolutely.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. Folks, stay with me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Trucking Hard Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Trucking Hard Concepts. Number one by far.
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Truckin' Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Truckin' Car Concepts. And look forward to 2017, serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Here we are, the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your favorite radio show. Right? And I have Rick Oppenheim to quote in that regard, who told me, he said, it's my favorite radio show. He said, my only regret is that you're not on every day. Well, God bless you, Rick. Thank you for that. It's not often that the Moose gets that kind of adulation and praise, but I'm certainly looking for it everywhere I can possibly find it. It's the way it goes. Yeah, people like me who otherwise think that everything we say is just golden flowing from our anointed lips. Nah, not the case. Sorry. I'm still impressed with the fact that we're on the air this long. We've been on now 6.5 years. And, you know, I mean, one might imagine that if people were not listening somewhere, somehow, that might come back to us. And we'd discover that Carl and I are the only ones listening. But thank you for those who have said otherwise and for your kind patronage enduring such nonsense with me, because the real stars of the show, as we well know, are those people like Chief Gaines, yep, and Kevin Peters. They're going to be with me here momentarily to talk about how well we are prepared for this year's hurricane season. Right, so we got to listen to them talk about what other things we need to do. I want to try to get from them, too, their take on how things got so snarly last year. Snarky and snarled. Snarly. So in other words, with the fact that Hermine just did what it did, right? If you want to be mad at anybody, be mad at Hurricane Hermine. But along with this theme today, looking at how public officials are charged with such responsibilities, I mean, here are these two guys that are basically down here at ground level, I think, administratively, trying to make sure that all the buttons get pushed and that, you know, people's needs are being well cared for and or met, and that you and I are not in danger, even when we're faced with power outages or, you know, fires and lightning bolts and all kinds of stuff coming at us. trying to do their best. So we'll spend a good portion of the show remaining talking with them, try to figure out whether we've learned anything, not just individually, right? Maybe I've figured out that I've got to get some emergency backup power at the house. Just got to do it somehow, some way. But also, are we better prepared as a community? Meaning, are these people charged with these responsibilities and the agencies that they represent and the people within those agencies, are they better prepared? Are they talking with one another more effectively? So that's going to be part of our question o' day for the good chief, Jerome Gaines, and our emergency management director, Kevin Peters. And of course, within the news of the week, it'd be appropriate, I suppose, at this point to look at, since we're talking about public leaders and such, the whole business with the CRA debacle, the investigation, FBI now investigating those principally involved, I suppose, on both sides, those who were funded and those who were responsible for funding projects that are now out there for all of us to consider, courtesy of news reporting, particularly Tallahassee Democrat, given a fair amount of time and ink to this question. And we'll consider that as we go forward in the weeks ahead. Without any doubt, this will occupy a great deal of attention. Although I have to tell you, among some of the folks that I've been talking to, and we all have here at Tallahassee Talks, there's a kind of sort of thing. I mean, a kind of, yeah, so, I mean, people in power with money influencing political decisions, we'll say, or influencing those who are in the position of making those kinds of decisions. I mean, how is that new? And maybe some people saying, and what difference does that really make to me? I find that a bit disconcerting, because I think that we should all and always be concerned about how public funds are being distributed. Why would we not care? That part I don't get. So to throw up your hands or roll your eyes or whatever and say, yeah, well, that's just kind of how it goes. Yeah, well, yeah. Why? Why does it have to go that way? And when it comes down to accountability, I can't do that within my own business. I have to, you know, make sure that I'm crossing the T's and dotting the I's and not cheating people. And right? Don't you have to do that? Don't you have to make sure that you fill out your 1040 accurately and file that appropriately and all the rest of it that goes into being good citizens of? You know, here we are, July 4th weekend, celebrating our independence. Yeah, and we should also celebrate our dependence on one another and those elected officials and those who we entrust with power, those who happen to have influence because, okay, God bless them, they've got a lot of money, or they've been around a long time, or they own a lot of property, you know, so they've got some sway. Well, we're dependent on one another to make sure that as best we possibly can, everybody's playing by the same rule book, and we're all being given reasonably a fair shot. You know, I mean, I may never have the kind of wealth that some of these people enjoy. Okay. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I still believe that, you know, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I like that idea. Well, I don't like it, but I favor the idea that you know, it's the human soul is given to greed and self-concern and all that kind of thing. And I need those checks and balances in my life, just as the nation needs checks and balances to keep us from this abuse of power. It's the way it goes. And the fact that we're seeing examples of that, well, no, it isn't shocking. It's kind of like your kids, you know, not to me. And I mean, not to oversimplify this, but if we act out as kids, you know, those of us were fortunate to have parents who were loving enough to correct us, because that really is an act of love. Now, you can't set the cat on fire, Brian. That is not good. I did that one time. Well, I didn't set him on fire. I just put him in the oven. Okay, I was 3 years old, maybe four. I should tell you that if you've had in mind the idea of sending us an email because you'd really like to sound off on something, you can do so with topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. That's our email address. You find us on Facebook, and we're on Twitter, of course, too. You can follow us that way. Don't forget you can subscribe to the podcast at our website, TallahasseeTalks.com, or if you want to listen, you can stream from the website, download, or whatever you want to do, because we do keep track of all of these very wonderful people by archiving all of the broadcasts just for you, just for your convenience. And we appreciate you being a part of today's show. You stay with me. I've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
It's a pleasure to have him back with us this morning. He is Tallahassee Fire Department Chief Gaines. How are you, sir?
Fine. How are you doing this morning?
Nice to see you.
You too.
And you've brought with you a colleague, a gentleman who we are just now getting to know. This is Kevin Peters. How are you, Kevin?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for having us, Brian.
Let me say that Kevin Peters is the Director for Emergency Management, Division of Emergency Management, Leon County Community Relations and Resilience. Big topic around the world and around this particular community. Resilient life and resilient cities, resilient communities. Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda spent a good deal of time talking with folks of late about resiliency. So here we are, Chief. We're heading into the rest of what amounts to hurricane season, as we've been told and as we know it. And county officials, city and public officials at various levels trying to make sure that we are all better prepared. Question I have is, are the public officials better prepared to deal with worst-case scenario?
Well, first thing I want to say is I work with Kevin. We work together on this to make sure that the citizens in this community are prepared. I'll speak for the city side, because that's who I work for, and I'll allow Kevin or let Kevin talk about the county side. But I would say overall, I would say yes, they are. And the reality of it is they're committed to making sure that the citizens are safe and we are prepared.
In your mind, mm-hmm. could you have easily said that last year prior to the arrival of Hurricane Hermine?
Well,
or has that changed?
Well, no, I'm saying that based on what I've seen and what I know has transpired since that incident. I can't say prior to that because I wasn't here for any of the incidents. I've only been here 3 years, so yeah. I can only go with what I've seen from that incident. Kevin could speak more on that because he's been here longer.
I see. Well, and particularly some folks have been a bit cynical, I think, in saying that, well, sure, now everybody's jumping up and down. You got county and city commissioners trying to make sure that we're all prepared and, you know, we've all got our orange buckets or whatever it is that they are proposing we do. Is that all just a bunch of PR, or is it genuine? And if it is that what we need to do to be better prepared? So, Kevin, why don't you address that?
Yeah, well, and it is a very genuine thing. I hope most folks realize that this isn't something that started after Hermine, our Build Your Bucket program. This is actually the third time we've done it. We did it two times before Hermine. It is a genuine effort to ensure our citizens are thinking about preparedness, and hopefully the people that come out to the event are the ones that can really use the resources that they have. Again, getting the bucket and some starter supplies for your kit, that was only half the goal. The other half the goal for these events are to come out and talk to the organizations and the agencies that that have a role in disaster preparedness and disaster response and disaster recovery. Hear from experts about things that will help them be better prepared, more than just some items in a bucket, because the bucket itself isn't going to help you.
Right.
Or the supplies. It's knowing what you should do with the supplies, where you can get more supplies as you go through the process of preparing. So it is a genuine effort. It's also that effort to engage citizens with some of the experts and the subject matter experts and responders that will be there to help following an incident.
Some have said, too, that the real lack of preparedness isn't at an individual level. It's not the average household that is struggling. It's these networks of city, county officials, people who are supposed to be making sure that the power grid is safe or protected or is up and running. And that's where, I mean, in the case with Hermine, the real challenge was our ability to generate power, and then all of the connecting, all of the infrastructure that could deliver that to, all the households. People individually may have been prepared, but it seemed like the people, running the show weren't as well prepared.
Well, I'm going to probably say something that people won't agree with, but here's the reality. People weren't prepared. I'm saying that as a person that has lived for 58 years. Me personally, I've taken things for granted. I came from Indiana. In Indiana, we had harsh weather, winter weather.
Right.
And they always talked about being prepared, making sure you have all the right things in your vehicle if you should become stranded. You know how many times I did that? Never. Because I never thought it would happen to me.
Interesting.
And so as a fire chief, I can recognize and be honest with myself that as an average citizen, I didn't do the things necessary to be prepared. So the reality of it is the average citizen out there is not prepared.
Okay.
And so when you talk about government, it comes down to this. I don't care how well you're prepared. I don't care what resources you have. Depending on Mother Nature, you're never, ever going to be able to address whatever might come through, because it could be so devastating that you would never have enough resources. And if it impacts a wide area, the resources that you would expect under normal situation where it's just impacting us locally, they're going to be addressing their own needs. And so it comes down to this. The bucket is, like Kevin was saying, the bucket is, it's more than just the bucket. It's getting people to think about being prepared for any situation prior to the situation happening, because they're going to happen. But the thing is that we have to realize also that government is here to make sure that the citizens are safe and so forth, but even the government can only do so much.
I got you.
It comes down to the individuals. And we had a meeting the other night. We were talking about this, and an individual asked a question about what is the city going to do? What have they done different? Well, I rattled off things that we've done differently. We've improved, because we recognize that.
Right.
But it came down to this as well, that any emergency situation, the understanding is you should be able to be self-sufficient for 3 days.
Yeah.
Because once an emergency happens, a storm happens, the first thing you have to do, you have to go out and assess the damage. And before you can do anything to help the citizens, you have to make sure you're able to clear the roads, get power lines out of the way, so forth, get things back up and running so you can start to provide the materials and the things that the citizens will need to sustain, water, food, so forth like that. And so the gentleman, when he said that, I said, it's our responsibility as citizens to know our neighbors. That's the whole point of this program today, is to get out and know our neighbors, know what their needs are, who's on oxygen, who has a different health issue, and so forth. And when those emergencies occur, as a community, we work together. It's not for anyone to expect that government is going to do it all. They're mistaken. That's not how it works. And I'm saying that because I'm a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a taxpayer for 58 years, and I have not been prepared. And I'm the fire chief.
He certainly is. Chief Jerome Gaines, our guest this morning, along with our other celebrated guest, Kevin Peters, Emergency Management Director here for Leon County. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Truck and Car Concepts' smoking hot summer savings going on now. Get a free tailgate pong game with any purchase $500 or more, or a free seven-way plug with any gooseneck hitch installation.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, with their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game or your free seven-way plug this week during the smoking hot summer savings event going on now at Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here for
you. Call 656-8800.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back, and we're talking with Tallahassee Fire Department Chief Jerome Gaines and our good new friend, Kevin Peters, Director of Emergency Management there for the county. Okay, Kevin, so the chief has helped us better appreciate the fact that, given human nature, we all tend to play the odds, and we think, it's not going to happen to me. I'll be fine. If that is our, we'll call it the human condition, what are you doing and the folks in your office doing to try to make us a bit more vigilant, make us a little bit more aware? We talked about the bucket campaign, right? Something that's been going on for now a couple of years. Yep. Is it working?
Well, yeah, we think it is. We had during our bucket event, there are a lot of people that were very appreciative of what we were doing. The event was much larger this year than in previous years. So people, it's fresh in their mind. They're thinking about it. It's not something we're going to go away from. We hope it will maintain that freshness and that awareness and that level of urgency that we hope people keep moving forward. Back to what Chief Gaines mentioned, the human nature, kind of falling back into comfort. Because we know that historically anywhere that's affected by hurricanes, it doesn't happen every year. It's a problem, I'd say probably nationwide, at least in our coastal states. Where people live along coastlines are subject to the risk from hurricanes. This is a challenge people in my profession, face from the Texas coast all the way up to the Northeast coast. So that's going to be a challenge. Some of the things that we are doing to hope, keep it fresh on a daily basis, we do have some new tools we've implemented for receiving just general severe weather warnings, other hazards that may happen throughout the year, because it's not just hurricanes. As we've seen, anything can become a major crisis in a community, from flooding to severe weather to even some of the human caused terrorist or criminal activity that could occur. So at Leon County, we've rebuilt our Citizens Connect app. Initially, it was a service application. You want to get a pothole filled or report a damaged street sign.
You could
download the app, report it to the county, a crew will come out and take care of it.
Right.
We've added the emergency information piece to that now. So when you download that app, you're going to get the push notifications if it's, severe weather this afternoon or a flash flood watch.
Cool. And that's not Digitally. That's another app.
Yes, it's the Leon County's Citizen Connect app.
Okay.
Yeah, the Digitally app, that is specific for the citizens of City of Tallahassee. But again, if you live in City of Tallahassee, you can download the Leon County Citizens Connect app. You are a Leon County citizen.
So if I go to my Google store or whatever, iTunes, I can find Leon County Citizens app.
Yeah, the Google application store, the iStore, in the search box, Leon County Citizens Connect app, and it'll be right there.
Okay, Leon County Citizens Connect app.
Yes.
Got it, okay. So let's all do that.
Yep.
Chief, you think that's a good idea?
That's a great idea.
It's a great idea. Okay. when we looked at last year's debacle, we, you know, had all these people coming at each other. Mm-hmm. You had the people who were actually getting the work done over here. Mm-hmm. So you had the mayor and the governor sparring with one another, and all of their, you know, colleagues and everybody kind of yelling at one another across the table. Where were you in all that? Were you part of that whole thing, or were you over here trying to help people?
Yeah, no, I was in the Emergency Operations Center leading the coordination effort with our all of our agencies that, and for those that may not kind of understand how the Emergency Operations Center works, if I may back up just a second.
Please.
On that.
Yeah.
We're located in the Public Safety Complex near Easterwood Drive.
Right.
We have agency representatives. We use what's called the emergency support function in the state of Florida. It's counties plan that way, the state plans that way, even the federal government plans that way. Mm-hmm. 18 different functions, from transportation to communications, public works, fire services, incident planning, mass care and shelter, logistics, health and medical, search and rescue, hazardous materials response, food and water provision, utilities coordination, law enforcement support, animal services support, volunteers and donations.
Just a few things.
And, business industry coordination. So, yeah, so those are all the functions.
This is all under your umbrella as an organization.
And that's our job. That's to coordinate it. So there's different entities, different county, city agencies, and they send their liaison to our office.
Wow.
And again, it's multi-agency coordination. Yeah. As Chief said earlier, it's not any one agency that's responsible for coming out and fixing the problem.
Right.
It's a unified effort, and that's what happens in the Emergency Operations Center.
So the... We'll call it the public display of animosity between state and city county officials. Was that all just sort of annoying and interfering, or was there some substance to that whole thing? I mean, I think most of us just kind of sat back and said, well, can't we just get the power turned on? I mean, why do we have to beat one another up in this deal?
Well, you know, I don't know about that. And as Kevin said, I can tell you what was happening there. You had people were there focused on doing their job.
Yeah.
I can tell you this. I personally saw city and county officials. They were there supporting their people. And the people working that incident were appreciative of the fact that they were there to show they were.
And it's their job. To do
well,
that.
No.
Yeah, I mean, because the mayor doesn't make those decisions.
Well,
the people who are the power.
But you got to look at it this way. People forget that when we're sitting in there in the Emergency Operations Center, and all this is going on around us, or you have elected officials there and so forth, that have braved the incident to come there.
Yeah,
they've left their families. They've left people that don't have power, that are trapped and so forth, because they're putting their commitment to the citizens before their own personal needs. Think about that.
Yeah.
My wife was at home by herself without power.
Yeah.
While we were there, people were there taking care of the needs of the citizens, because that's the oath, pledge, commitment we made when we took these positions.
That's part of the deal.
And it's the same as the mayor, the commissioners, or whatever. They didn't have to be there. They wanted to be there to show support for the people. I don't know about the rest of the stuff. All I can tell you is that's what I witnessed.
I think, in fact, that part of the story probably got muted. I don't think that people paid attention to the fact that behind all the furor going on and the finger pointing, and it, I think a lot of that came from people who are observing the finger pointing. By the way, there were people like you, Kevin, who were really just trying to get it done.
Exactly.
But I get back to this point about the infrastructure itself being so badly damaged that it doesn't matter how many times you flip that switch. There's nothing on the other end of that switch.
And that's, you know, and that is a thing. And that's probably one of the places where an improvement can be made is just the education of what it takes.
Because now we're talking about cutting down trees and trying to make sure that we're not, you know, sitting there like a sitting duck anymore.
When the power goes out during a storm, what you have to remember is that there are different layers and levels to the electric system.
And none of us understand that, clearly.
On a good day, I mean, we've probably all seen it. We've driven through the community. Yeah. How many crews does it take to do something electric's doing? Mm-hmm. And you see them in the morning when you leave your neighborhood. You see them in the afternoon on a planned project.
Right.
It takes a long time. It's not fast work.
Right.
And it's dangerous
work. It's dangerous work, yeah.
And I know the chief has responded mm-hmm. to calls where somebody's been electrocuted by an electric power line.
And like you say, that's on a fair weather day.
Right. And it
now
is,
let's put it at night in
right.
a storm.
Right.
And you got live wires laying
it's
around
dangerous
on the ground.
Work. Yeah, the sure. guys are going to work at the speed of safety.
Right.
And that's the key right there. They're going to work at the speed of safety.
Yeah, right.
But and they've got to restore every piece from the power plant or wherever the power comes from.
Yep. Right down
each
to my house.
Well, until they right. get to your
yep.
house.
Yep. See, and that's my concern mm-hmm. in general about all of the PR campaigning. Mm-hmm. While God bless you for saying y'all need to think about this, mm-hmm. and Chief's right, you know, we're complacent, you know, we get comfy. I wonder how many of us understand what really happens to make that power come from that point yeah. to my house. And you've ticked off, what, more than a dozen different agencies mm-hmm. involved and responsibilities that you have. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Our hurricane survival guide that we've printed for many years, probably close to 30 since Hurricane Kate, we've urged people to be prepared for up to 2 weeks food and water following a hurricane
yeah.
because that's the lesson we learned in Kate.
We're talking with Kevin Peters. He is the Director of Emergency Management here for the county, along with our good friend and the friend of many, Chief Gaines, Tallahassee Fire Department. You stay with me. We got more.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press commercial printers since 1983.
For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services, reach for Rapid Press. When you're ready to share your vision, excite your customers, and reach the hearts of your audience, reach for Rapid Press. You'll find them online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346. Rapid Press, the power of print.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You know, the governor is just trying to favor corporate power, and the city's trying to protect its own interests. I mean, that to me sounds like an administrative problem.
Yeah.
So the communication there is face-to-face. It's not using a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's about looking across the table and trusting the person that you're looking at. And I want to know, how has that changed? Is there a better climate there for city, county, state officials working together?
Well, I would say it is. I can tell you what, like I said, I personally witnessed myself. I mean, obviously, the county and the city, we're working together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kevin and I work together. We train together. We prepare together. And I would say the same for the different county and city officials.
Right.
They understand mm-hmm. the importance to the citizens that we all are on the same page.
I hear you.
And so I've seen that change. They're committed to making this work.
And the fact that you're all in the same place.
Right.
That's
right.
A huge investment over here on Easterwood Drive in this building.
Think of it this way.
Yeah.
This is my understanding. Before I came here, this incident
uh-huh.
was the first time that they've truly put that to combined consolidated system,
which is Kevin's
test.
Point that you know, yeah, we did a lot of practicing, we just practiced,
and so
for this.
You're going to have some bumps and things, and we recognize those things, and uh-huh. we are testing the system and the changes we've made now in order to avoid those in the future. Because think about this: the last time you had a huge mm-hmm. hurricane was back in when 85. Technology
prior to Hermine, yeah.
technology was not
right.
so prominent as it is today.
That's pre-internet.
It's a blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, yes, we have the apps to get information out to people, mm-hmm. give people notifications so they can make the appropriate decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But in that same, on the other side of that, technology, because of that, when these incidents happen, people have the means to call in
right,
or
right,
whatever
right,
to report
right,
something, but they also want an answer instantaneously.
Sure, sure. And my point is, Kevin, I know you've got something to share with that. Yeah. In fact, go ahead.
Well, kind of back to the practice, you know, we practice every year with the State mm-hmm. Division of Emergency Management. They run a statewide mm-hmm. hurricane exercise.
Right.
The governor, and this might be a weird point to get into, but the governor doesn't get involved in those practice sessions like we saw during Hermine. That was not
on the script.
Yeah, that was different.
So you're saying it was kind of a surprise to all of you that the governor showed up and wanted to say, hey, what are you guys getting done here?
Yeah, typically the governor isn't that operationally involved. It's delegated to the State Emergency Management Director. Mm-hmm. And, that's not to say that governors, we've seen the videos in the past, the governors will go to impacted communities mm-hmm. and meet with local officials.
But that
was different. It was not what we expected. It's not what we've practiced for. And
you know what? Getting back to your point, Chief, you know, all of us are grown-ups here, mm-hmm. and none of us should be surprised that an elected official sees an opportunity to show up on camera. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's fresh meat, man. You know, I never met a crisis I didn't love. You know, that's kind of the mentality. But I'm looking at two guys here. I mean, God bless you. What if the two of you just don't like each other and you don't get along well? And and every time you see each other, you're like, man, I got to deal with that guy again. Mm-hmm. That's where I wonder how the chemistry among these officials, if that kind of stuff, though it may exist, or if it doesn't, could come at some other point. Is there something structurally built in to how we get this stuff done that the job can be accomplished apart from personalities?
I can say this without hesitation. Regardless of whatever else was going on, mm-hmm. be it what you said, the different stories, or mm-hmm. given the fact that you had family members at home that were mm-hmm. without power, mm-hmm. the people that were working that incident, those other things you're talking about, didn't change the focus in what was being done. Mm-hmm. The work was getting done, period. Period.
And
I want people to understand that, you know, let's not get caught up in the things that the news media put out there and so forth to make it seem like that what was done was a failure. That's not true. I saw firsthand how hard people were working in order to get things restored back to normalcy.
Yeah, and that's been echoed even in the more recent months following Hermine that, okay, you know, this one came back and came to bite us, right? And it got us good. At the same time, let's look at the big picture and say within this period of time, apart from any kind of froth,
right.
the real work did get done. Right. Power crews were working extended shifts,
right.
you know, people putting their lives
right.
at risk just so that I can, you know, brew my coffee.
Right.
Right.
But it comes back to what I said before, is that we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the citizens as well. Mm-hmm. You know, after storm, if you remember, there was, you know, what are we going to do for the power and so forth? But you've got all these different roadblocks, these obstacles. Mm-hmm. People don't want to have the trees cut down because that's part of our. Or you see what I'm saying?
I do.
People were saying, you know, let's put all the power underground.
Yeah.
Are you really willing to pay that money? Okay. And even if you put all the power underground,
right?
It doesn't mean that if those substations are destroyed, guess what? When you hit the switch, you still don't have power.
You still don't have power.
Somewhere it connects.
You know, Chief, I have to say this. When you, and those of us who have the advantage, I'll call it an advantage,
right.
the perspective of looking back from 9/11 and the kind of unity that emerged.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were some who seemed to have weird ideas about, well, that's New York City. Why should I care about them? I mean, I heard that. But I think for the most part, most of us said, this is an enemy that has come at us. And that us was really the downbeat then for years following.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that still remains to some degree, although it's harder to see these days or hear. You know, when you think about it, it was Hermine that attacked us,
right.
but yet we turned on one another.
Correct.
And that's the curiosity of this thing, is you guys didn't go after each other. Mm-hmm. You weren't pointing fingers. You're in there getting your job done. So perhaps being prepared as citizens includes being mindful of the fact that some people, whether it's news media or public officials, may want to try to use this in some manner to elevate or advance their position or their cause or whatever, their ratings. Meanwhile, the real life is, you know, Republicans and Democrats and, you know, capitalists and socialists, they were all working together to get the power turned back on. Right. It was nonpartisan in the purest possible sense. Is mm-hmm. that fair?
Yeah, I would agree.
And so as we go forward this year mm-hmm. through this, God help us that we should have another hurricane. We don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. But perhaps those of us should be a bit better prepared to think through mm-hmm. what guys like Chief Gaines is doing, yeah, and what Kevin is doing over here at the county to try to take care of us, huh?
Right.
Okay. Folks, this is why we needed to have this conversation, and you guys hung in there with us. I appreciate it. Yeah. We will be in touch with you going forward, and we appreciate both of you and your families for what you do for this county and for this city. Folks, that's what I've got for you this morning. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next Saturday. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press commercial printers since 1983.
For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services, reach for Rapid Press. When you're ready to share your vision, excite your customers, and reach the hearts of your audience, reach for Rapid Press. You'll find them online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346. Rapid Press, the power of print.